It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, amen. It's good to see all your faces. It's good to see each one of you. Last week I left it to you in good hands with Pastor Phil Marlowe, wherever he's at. There he is. And it feels good that I can step out and visit another church. I was at Union Church on Sunday just sharing some things what we're doing, but also just giving them a token of appreciation for their partnership as they partner with us financially on a monthly basis. And so I'm trying to make my rounds about once a month and to a different church if I can. And through the winter, I'm trying to stay close so I don't have to drive those crazy roads. But I appreciate you all letting me be able to do that. But it is good. So actually with Union Church, hopefully there may be something started between us and them. We'll just see if they want to help on. We'll be able to use them in a couple of things. So we'll see where they stand on those things. But it is good to see you, each one of you here today. It's good to see you, Connie, Colleen, and Lisa. It's been a bit, so good to see you all. Anybody's visitors, it's good to see you as well. I see some of them up there. So how many of y'all want to grow in your walk with the Lord? Do you? I'm going to stretch you really good today. Are you ready for it, though? It sounds good, but it's hard. The book of Ezekiel is probably one of the most difficult Old Testament books to go, but we're going to start in chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel is a difficult book to understand. Sometimes it's even difficult to read, but it doesn't mean that it's impossible. Just because you don't understand the book of Revelation doesn't mean we don't read it. Amen? We still read it. But God's people are in a mess. That sound familiar? God's people's in a mess? I hope I don't hurt your feelings today. I really don't. I love every one of you. I do. I love people. But I do know this. We can get caught up in some things that seem to be godly, but they're not godly. And if we get caught up in some things that seem godly, they might be godly, but maybe in the heart of it that we're doing, it might be wrong. Might be some things that we've listened to in the last 6-7 months that we shouldn't have been listening to. And unfortunately, some of them have come from preachers. Which tells me also on the side note, be careful who you let speak in your life. Be careful who you let influence your ears. Because what goes in your ear can influence your mind. That's why you need to get a Bible. Not just on your phone, but you need a personal Bible that you can take notes in, that you can highlight. I have Bibles that last me about 3 years and I'm done. Not that I don't think I'm just in it 24 hours. I'm not. But I highlight everywhere I go. I leave a mark. Some people say, oh, it's the Holy Word. Listen, I got it. I'm going to write all in it. Now, do I have a couple that I haven't written in? Yes. But my preaching Bibles, they've got all kinds of notes in them, all kinds of pieces, all kinds of highlights in them. And then when they get too damaged, I put it on the shelf and get another one. Just because I read a book doesn't mean I don't read it again. I got to keep learning. I have to keep growing. I got to keep studying John 3:16, even though I got it memorized. You got it memorized. I still got to look at it. I got to reread it. And God's people here are in a mess. Let me go ahead and start here in chapter 13, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying, saying to them, are saying to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets in Israel are like jackals among ruins. What God is saying, he said, all these prophets are out prophesying all this stuff. They're not speaking for me. And some of those prophets that you've listened to, some of those preachers were not speaking for the Lord in this last year. Now, I'm just going to say a side note here. I've heard so many prophets tell, oh, this one's going to win the election. Oh, this one's going to do this. Oh, we're going to head here. We're going to head here. Listen, do not fade or walk, separate, shade away from God's word. I tell you, I might step on a toe or two. Hey, I tell you what, some of those guys are very charismatic. I listened to one, I listened to two, I said, man, I need to back off this stuff. I need to back off of this stuff. I need to back off this stuff right now. Because they were saying some things that just wasn't right. All right? And God is saying that, and he's calling it out. He's saying your prophets Israel are like jackals among ruins. And then he says, you have not gone up to the breaches in the wall to repair it for the people of Israel so that it will stand firm in the battle of the day of the Lord. Now that can get kind of confusing. But there's a responsibility that the prophets had. The people, the leaders, the spiritual leaders of Israel had. They had a responsibility to breach the walls. Now I want to tell you, in Scripture, walls are very, very important. Wall is protects. Okay, walls protect, all right? Walls protect. I want to go back to an ancient of time. I want to go back to an ancient time. I want to go back to the book of Job for just a moment in chapter 1. Wednesday, I talked to this one little piece about Wednesday. I said, there's more going on. I think it's Wednesday or Sunday. There's more going on than what you can see. All right? There's always more going on than what you can see. The spiritual world is more real than the physical world. But in the book of Job, we see this little story about Job, and it's about what's going on in his life. But we see the angels gathering together to present themselves to the Lord. And Satan is found in the midst of that, and God calls him out. And I just want to pick up this little bit of a conversation. He says, one day, in Job chapter 1, verse 6, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. Now here I have a problem, because there are some people that believe that Satan is not real. I just read that Satan presented himself. Do you believe that there is? Do you believe that Satan is real? I hope that you do. It is biblical, but yet there are people who, Christians claim that he is not real. He is real. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. And we know that Peter says the same thing, right? It's like a roaring lion, roaming back and forth, seeking who he may devour. But what we see here in verse 8, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge or a wall around him and his whole house and everything that he has? You have blessed the work of his hands. He said, haven't you put a wall around him? And in the book of Ezekiel, we see and hear that the walls are coming apart. When you live the way God's called you to live, it doesn't make you perfect. I'm going to tell you, you cannot be perfect on this side of heaven. You just can't. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, we are to sin less. We are to be more like God. We're to be ambassadors for Christ. We're to live a Christ-like life. And when we sin, the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes upon us. We talk to the Lord about it, and we repent, and we get on about the Lord's business. But there's some breaches in the walls. And he's not talking about the physical walls, although the physical walls will be coming down the road. But these are the walls that's going on in and around Israel. Their spiritual life has got breaches in it. And the prophets are not doing anything, the priests are not doing anything to fix those breaches. They're causing a lot of the problem. Be careful if you jump on one sin and one sin only, that you just beat down on that sin. The sin is wrong. Don't get me wrong. But if you're just going to pick one sin, you're going to find yourself in a dangerous place. It is sin all around. And when you start pointing a finger at someone else, you need to go in the bathroom, grab the sink, and look at that person right in front of you, and start judging that person first. And don't judge him with your own voice. Ask the Lord to speak truth, because we will not be truth. We will not be truthful with the person in front of us. But the Holy Spirit will be truthful. And the Holy Spirit will tell you truths where yourself will not. When God is saying, he says this, you have not gone up to the breaches in the wall to repair it for the people. God is moving to a place. This is a deeper part of walk with God. It's not just being a believer. It's now you're going to put yourself. There's something that's getting ready to happen. You see, when someone comes to Christ, they are we see scriptures where they kind of get on the milk. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, right? Let's get the nourishment. You start reading about the creation. You start reading about David. You start reading about Jesus and the Gospels, and you start reading about Revelation. You start reading those. You start growing. You start serving. You attend. You're worshiping God. And you're serving with whatever spiritual gifts God's given to you, and you're living your life, and you're growing, and you're going to mess up, and somebody's going to speak some truth into your life. Hopefully they do it in love, and hope you receive it in love, and you just grow up a little bit more. Now, some people stay on the milk forever, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about as you grow, then all of a sudden you don't, you're kind of off the milk. It doesn't mean you don't go back and reread those, but you're going to start taking some meat. You're going to grow up in Jesus. We're going to grow up in Jesus. Now you could be 50 years old and be a 3-year-old Christian. Now we can look at it, and I'm not talking about years. I'm talking about in the years, physical years. You can be a Christian for 20 years and be still on the milk and be like an infant Christian. You're not going to catch a lot of what I'm going to say today. Because this is not a message where you just walk out and you just come in and you listen and you walk out and you think, well, that was a good sermon, or I didn't like that sermon, or whatever, and you go on. If this is going to grasp you, it's going to grasp you because the Lord is grasping you with it. These scriptures are going to grasp you because many of us have not read these chapters or these verses in a long time. If maybe not at all. He moves down to verse 10, because he says that they have led my people astray, saying peace when there is no peace. Listen, I think when Mike was praying, I heard some things that he was praying about. There is an evilness in this world that is getting more boastful. Evil people are connecting with evil people. There's a lot of that going on. Okay? We don't need to be afraid. But because they lead my people astray, saying peace when there is no peace, because when a flimsy wall is built, they cover it with whitewash. There's a crack in the wall. They're going to come over and they're going to cover it. It's going to look good on the outside, but it's not going to stand any storms. A lot of Christians like that today. A lot of churches like that today. Going to whitewash some stuff. Going to hide some stuff. We all know. We all have homes. We know what some paint can do, right? We know what some mud and paint can do. And God's calling it out for what it is. He's calling out the prophets. He's calling out the people. He's calling out his prophets. He says, verse 14, I will tear down the wall you have covered with whitewash and will level it to the ground so that its foundation will be laid bare. Now, I want to take a step. I want to take a step to the side, and I want to say that God loves. He does. For God so loved the world. God loves. But God is also a God of judgment. But God loves people so much that he doesn't want people, okay? He doesn't want people to go to hell. He sent Christ, the redemption story, the gospel. And God wants to relent. He doesn't want to come up and let his wrath on the people. But never forget, he is a holy God. He is holy. And when his people are not being the way they're supposed to be, and getting to the point of even whitewashing what they know is wrong and saying everything is good when it is not, he's going to do something. He doesn't want to, but he's going to do something. How do I know he doesn't want to? I'm glad you asked me that. Turn over to chapter 22. This is a great big verse that is huge for us this morning. Verse 30 of Ezekiel chapter 22. And let me tell you, when you start reading Ezekiel, don't get frustrated. Just keep reading and finish it. And pick it up again later. You'll learn something. Verse 30. This is the Lord. I looked for someone. God is looking for people. Now, God knows everything, but it's just the way we need to understand it. God is looking for someone. In Isaiah, he says, who shall I send? Who shall I send? The prophet Jonah, it said the Lord was sending Jonah to Nineveh to preach against it. God is looking for people. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall. Not whitewash it, but build up the wall. Now, I said I was going to step on toes. I don't mean to, just the way it is. But this last political thing, it was a mess. And the church did not act appropriately. Now, either way it went, I'm just saying the church did not act appropriately. We put our trust in prophets. So many people, prophets, my goodness. And I looked at some of those views. Some of the views had hundreds of thousands of views. My gosh. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. Oh, it's going to be doomsday in November. Oh, it's going to be a beautiful rainbow and everything's going to come back to green in January. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. When we look at men, we look at failure. When we look at Jesus, we look at succession. We look at victory. And we've been looking at men, and we've been looking at things in the wrong ways. Southern Baptist Convention's got a bunch of messes going on over the place. I can say that because we are one. Many people don't even want to say the denomination Southern Baptist. We got some denominations, and this is where they're probably going to cut me off on the live feed, but we got churches out there, the denominations are saying homosexuality is right. People are telling me, Jimmy, you're going to get arrested for that. Listen, I can't help it if this is what God's Word says. Now, here's the thing. I love people. I do. I'm not judging that. I'm just saying it's wrong. But so is going out into the bars and getting drunk and getting in the car driving thinking you're going to get home because you're good. You know what you're doing. That's wrong too. So is getting on pornography on your cell phone. Listen, there is a piece there. They're seeing 10-year-old kids are seeing pornography more than what we did in my time. A whole lifetime of teenagers. And their imagery is all messed up. Their whole mind is messed up. And we're not even touching the problem. We're not even touching the problem. We're looking at all this. We're concerned about all this other stuff that's going to happen, and we're not even looking in our own homes. We're not even looking into God's Word. We are a mess. Prayer, I'm telling you, I go to church, but prayer is not a big thing. We need to pray more. We do a little more on Wednesday nights, but we need to pray more. God is not looking for America to be where we all think it needs to be. I'm going to tell you right now. Every piece of granule dirt is his. Every dollar bill in the world is his. Every peso is his. Every human being, every breath that we breathe is his. And the darkness has made a mockery of it. And there's a time, and he says, yeah, it's going to come. It's going to come. He's given us the forewarning. He gives us the warning, I'm coming again. This time, I'm not coming to be Savior. You've got your time right now. People say, oh, it's a time of grace. It is the time of grace. It is. But be careful how you use that grace. He says, I look for someone among them who will build up the wall. Someone. What did we just read? Satan was upset because he turns around and he says, but you put a wall around Job. You put a wall around him. You blessed his money. You blessed him financially. You blessed him with in his household, you blessed him with his family. You blessed him with all of his farmland and all of his flocks, all that. You blessed him. What Satan was saying was this. His wall's around him and I can't get in to mess him up. Because you allowed a wall to be there. Can you imagine if we had the wall that we were supposed to have around America? And I'm not talking about a physical wall. I'm talking about a spiritual wall. Now, don't get me wrong. Everyone is not, I know reality. Everyone is not going to come to Christ in America. And this isn't about all of our love for our country. It's about our love for God. He says, oh, build up a wall. But he doesn't just say that. Not about just building up a wall. He says this big piece. This is a huge piece. He says this, and stand before me in the gap. He's looking for somebody to stand in the gap. And that's what many people thought we were seeing, people standing in the gap. Now, there were some good people. Don't get me wrong. There were some good things that were happening, whatever is happening today. But God is looking for someone to stand in the gap without a personal agenda. When I put my personal agenda in, it's going to mess it up. But we're talking about God's agenda, that all people will hear the gospel. Then make a choice. But in the meantime, all the Christians that are called by God, we are Christians, that we live out the life that God's called us to live. But he's looking for someone to stand in the gap. How do we stand in the gap? You see this wall over here with all these names on it? These are people we're praying for to become saved, to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We put their names on there. I got a couple of names on there. I'm standing in the gap for them right now. I'm trying to stand in the gap. They don't know Christ. But I'm going to pray. Standing in the gap. I'm going to kneel. I'm going to pray for them. That God would do something in their life and draw them to himself, that they might call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. I'm going to stand in the gap. This church stands in the gap with helping people in all kinds of situations in life. Standing in the gap. We're trying to build the walls in this community. We're building up a wall. We're not perfect. Don't get me wrong. We got our problems. But we're building up a wall, and we are trying to stand in the gap. And I want to tell you, when you stand in the gap, you're going to get what we just read earlier in the ancient word, the book of Job. Satan is going to start poking. He's going to start poking. He's going to start trying to figure a way to get into your life. This is why you have to be ready for it. You have to be able to stand in the gap. And here he was saying, and stand in the gap on behalf of the land. Because what? So God says this, so I would not have to destroy it. God doesn't want to destroy this land. He doesn't want to. He's looking for somebody to stand in the gap. Give him a reason not to. Give him a purpose not to. Let's stand in the gap for some lost people. I'm going to pray for them lost people. They need Jesus Christ, whether they know it or not. He says, stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But he says this, but I have found no one. No one. No one. He says, so I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their own heads all they have done. Let me tell you, when God does that, you're never going to be judged for something you didn't do or what somebody else. It's going to be your own. This is what it is. This was on their own heads, all they have done. And then it says, declares the sovereign Lord. That means you can't change that. That's God. That's God's step. Almighty God said that. Let me tell you, God's heart is moved when people start praying for other people. God's looking for some people that would be broken for the brokenness that's around them. And it isn't just the sexual things. It's the things that go on in the homes where the abuse is happening all across America and nobody's saying anything. It's the motels and hotel rooms where people go in to use, and I'm going to do my last, I'm going to take the biggest ride in my life, and I'm going to check out. Not out of the motel, but I'm going to check out of this world. Just going to check out. Life is so bad, I'm going to check out. God's looking for some people to stand in the gap. One, build a wall in our communities. But also standing in the gap. Lord, wait, Lord. Just let me just stand in the gap for a minute. Can I just pray? And he knows you're broken. He knows we're not perfect. But he knows we have Jesus Christ. He knows we're filled by the Holy Spirit. And God is seeking people who will stand in the gap and actually maybe shed a tear for the first time for somebody else and not just for ourselves. You see, America's got so good at praying drive-through quick prayers that we forgot the seriousness of prayer. Now, I believe you can say quick prayers. I do that too. I believe you can be driving down the road and you're going to pray. But I believe there's also those moments where you get into a prayer moment and you don't say a word for I don't know how long. I mean, some of you know. Some of you I know, I've been mature Christians. You've been to a place where you prayed and you haven't said a word for a long time. And the presence of God would come wherever you were, and you knew it was, and you had an idea what you were going to say. You might know what I'm talking about. You had an idea what you were going to say, but no words could come out. And then when a few words do come out, don't you remember that it was, oh God, you're so awesome. Thank you, God. God, you were always with me. You never left me. Even in my hardest days, you were there. You healed my broken heart so many times. You helped me in my financial crisis. You helped me through all those times when I wasn't sure if I was going to make it. And all that stuff, you begin to share with put it back up into God's face and thanking Him for all those things. And you turn around and you almost forget what you were going to pray for. And then you do pray for what you were going to pray for. And you found out what you were praying for really wasn't as important as much as you needed to praise Him. You see, I'm talking in a moment here right now. Not everybody's going to get what I'm saying. I knew that was going to happen. But I know I can look at some of you Christians have been around for a long time. You understand what I'm saying right now. We got to get up and we got to get... I understand patriotism. I understand that. But I'm telling you, we need to get to a place where we are putting God first. And there is nothing else. There is God first. It is Jesus Christ first. Listening to the Holy Spirit. Because He has a lot to say. And we just got so loud, we can't hear a thing. Oh, I was praying that, Lord, just get somebody in our nation a year ago, 2 years ago. Just somebody, Lord, raise up a spiritual leader in our country and call out a national fast. And that all the Congress Christians and all the Senate Christians would come to a place and say, we're not meeting, we are falling down on our faces before God. Not in a Bible study, but as a nation, falling down before God and say, God, have mercy on us, show us your ways. Give us a repentant heart. But we let things get in front of it. And we didn't have it. And we still need to do that. Let me tell you, spiritual things are more real than physical things. Can you think of someone that you need to stand in the gap for today? Now, in our walk with the Lord, we don't save anybody. We don't save anyone. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Him. But we can stand in the gap and we can begin to pray for someone. And we get serious about it. And we make that an important part of our day, that we find someone that we're going to pray for. We're going to put it in our daily life, or we're going to pray for someone every day. Every day, because that person, without you standing in the gap, there may be no one else standing in the gap. And if they were to die in a car accident, you know where they would go. Not that we're casting judgment, but there is, you know. Anybody ever told you if they were to hell I'm going? I have. And by their own words, they judge themselves. That person still needs Jesus Christ. And we need to stand in the gap and we need to pray for those people. We need to be building up a wall by living the life that God's called us to live. What breaches do you have in your own life? Ask yourself that, but then real quick, then ask the Lord that and listen. He has a way of revealing things that you don't see, because we can become blinded to our own sin. We can go blinded by our own wrongdoings, but we see everybody else's. There's a wall that needs to be built up in this community, in this nation. But I first have to work on my own wall. Now, I don't build the wall. I can fix some breaches. But the Lord grants it as a gift by us living the way God's called us to live. Listen, if I struggle with a sin, I need to be working that out with the Lord. Listen, when people come to Christ, it doesn't mean they drop all their sin today. There's a working process that God's going to start. There's going to be a lot of things happening in their life. But this is what I know as a Christian. Being a Christian this year, I should be a better Christian this year than I was last year. I should be growing in my Christianity with God. I should sin less this year than I did last year, hopefully and prayerfully. Sometimes those things don't happen. Sometimes people slip. They go into the prodigal pit. All kinds of things happen. But there needs to be somebody standing in the gap. Every one of those names up there, stand in the gap for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. How many of y'all have Jesus Christ in your heart? Just real quick. Okay. Think of who led you to the Lord? You think they were standing in the gap? Just some of you? There was somebody praying for you? There was somebody praying for you before and you were lost. Somebody was praying for you. And then when you become a Christian, the next thing you know, you're praying for someone else. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That's a beautiful thing. Standing in the gap. Building the walls. Now, what do I do with all that? What do I do with all that? I take it serious. I ask God to give me strength to do it. You ask God to give you strength to do it. Find someone to pray for them weekly. That's what I do, weekly. You pray for other people, but if you need a purpose to pray, you know exactly who to pray for. Our prayer lives need to improve. Amen? I got to get an amen on that, right? Our prayer lives have got to improve. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of us know what it's like when the walls are breached. Satan finds that crack and he gets bigger and bigger. Now listen to me, what we end up doing is we know it's there, and we go over there and we start putting and whitewashing this thing so other people don't see it. But we forget the number one person who does see it. Because God looks from the inside out. In the flesh, we look from the outside in. And I'm thankful God looks from the inside out. Listen, our nation is doing all kinds of things. I don't agree with a lot of them. I don't agree with all the sexual things that they're doing. I don't agree with the abortions that's going on. I don't agree with a lot of stuff. But this is what I know. We live in a broken world. This is people are sinful. We're all sinful. But the biggest thing I know is this. People need the Lord. And they may not know it, but people need the Lord. And I'm not one of bad. I just want you to be clear on this. I am not bashing one sin. Sin is sin, and sin is ugly before the Lord. But I will say this. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. If we come to Jesus and we ask for forgiveness, His word says in 1 John 1:9 that He will forgive us of our sins, but He also says this, that that he will cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness, which means from all of our ungodly living. All we need to do is come to Jesus. If you're not a believer and you want to be a believer, that can be taken care of. You have to ask Jesus Christ into your life and give him your life just as he gave you your life, his life to you. If you're a believer and your life has not been the way that it should be, he's telling us that we need to get rid of the whitewash. Get with him, confess whatever it is. Get with him, just pray. Lord, sometimes you can just go, Lord, I don't know what I've been doing. It's all a mess. I'm a mess. Help me, Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, if anybody's doing this to you, do you turn them away? And God's hand's been out to a lot of us for a long time. All he's saying is, take it. Take it. Take it. Father, as we come to closing parts of this service, building walls can be a difficult thing. But with you, nothing is impossible. And we can't do it without you in the first place. Standing in the gap, a person has to have a heart for people. We really can't even stand in the gap unless you're drawing us, because it's too spiritual for us to do on our own. But we know that there's spiritual warfare that happens when we start praying for lost people and for our nation. Lord, you know I love our country. I love people. But I'll never be able to love like you do. Not on this side of heaven, I can't. And we can't. May our hearts be focused upon you. May our lives be an example of the way that you want us to live in this world, that others might see that we live differently and we talk differently, we act differently because of you. And I pray, Father, for each person that is in this congregation today, that your spirit would move upon them in a way that only you can, and that they would obey your spirit today. And as we have this altar call, we pray, Lord, that you would use it in a way that would just lift up your name and lift up others to yourself. That no man gets the glory but Jesus Christ himself. We thank you, Jesus, for all good things. And we ask you be upon this moment. In Christ's name, amen.